Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations standpoint. This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. Before I go on any further, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners on this land we are broadcasting from. I also like to acknowledge the elders and also our elders of more recent arrival. And a big shout out to everybody around the continent that is taking our program via the National Indigenous Radio Service NIRS, or listening via our app 98.9FM for the best country, or our website 98.9FM.com.au. Those platforms beaming us into your communities, so it is great to have your company. I have a very special guest joining me on the program this morning. Funny story, actually. It took me about, I don't know, a good 10 minutes, I think, to actually work out how to call this person, because they're in another part of the world, a very, very important part of the world as well with what's going on right now. But also, we were chatting off air as well. My guest is joining us from Hawaii. And we were chatting about them, the mob over there, taking out the trash for us and for other Indigenous folks around the world. But before we talk about taking the trash out, we'll have a yarn and I'll bring in my guest. Just before we start, sis, could I get you to tell us your mob and where you're from?
Hey, aloha o Malia ko oie noa no Kahalu o Oahu mai au. My name is Malia and I am from Kahalu'u on the island of Oahu, which is a part of what is globally known as Hawaii.
It's such a, it's like I was saying off air, it's a privilege to have you on the program to let us mob over the over here in this part of the world know what's going on the island. Yeah, and also to actually, you know, break bread and have this conversation between, you know, two Indigenous folks. So like, I just want to say, first off, thank you for joining us on the program.
Yeah, mahalo so much for having me and allowing us to share with you as Indigenous peoples what's going on and the sovereignty that's being felt around the world from it.
Definitely, most definitely. And I'm sure online over the last few years, hopefully people have caught on to what's happening in Hawaii on one of the islands over there with the construction or the wanting to construct a telescope on one of the sacred mountains. But I'm sure after the weekend, it would have hopefully been brought to your attention when one of the biggest sort of Hollywood stars in the world visited the island. But it's not. We're not here to talk about, you know, any movie stars. We're here to talk about the real heroes, which are the ones that are on the ground, and in particular, you are as well, sis. Could you tell us about what's happening on the ground in Hawaii?
Yeah. So what's happening on the ground currently has been actually happening for the past 10 years, in regards specifically to the protection of Mauna Kea. It really came down to frontlining 4 years ago, back in 2015, where we the groundbreaking ceremony of the 30-meter telescope that is being proposed to go on top of one of our most sacred mountains and one of the most sacred places in the world, if I may confidently say. But the fact that we stopped the groundbreaking ceremony, the fact that they were unable to even etch anything of their project on our mountain, and the fact that we won in Supreme Court 4 years ago says so much about the power of aloha and the ways in which we decide to protect our aina and have always protected our aina with. So right now we are seeing the byproduct of all of these acts of aloha come into place and materialize in what we now are seeing as the movement that, I mean, I can only speak for myself, but the movement that is to regain our sovereignty in recognition throughout the global audience. We've always known our sovereignty. I won't shy away from that, but for the world to now globally recognize us as a sovereign people is something I feel like we're experiencing right now.
You mentioned, you know, the world recognizing the sovereignty of of Hawaiians or of the indigenous peoples of these islands. And it's something that you have been fighting for quite some time. I was just saying to my listeners that Hawaii is one of the states of, is now a state of, is, I don't know, the territory of the United States. You know, I say that openly. You know, as indigenous people, we don't recognize, you know, borders or, you know, countries owning other countries. But that's been a struggle for quite some time for your people as well.
Yes, it has been. I mean, back in 1892, we were legally overthrown. There is no treaty of annexation. There is only tears of remembrance of how our queen, Liliuokalani, understood that if we had gone to war, we as a people would have been wiped out because of the sheer power that they had. They had weapons and guns and more manpower backing their side than we had. And she did not want to see her people's blood shed on our Aina. And so she took it upon herself to imprison herself in our palace, which still stands today. But it is because of that that we were illegally overthrown and still to this day are illegally occupied by the settler force, which is globally known now as the United States of America.
The only just reason why I brought that up, wanted to work that as well, just to put it in context, I guess, you know, the struggle and the fight that, you know, you have on hand. And, you know, I guess, you know, this telescope is one of many struggles that are fought on the front line of, you know, as Indigenous folks from that part of the world. And how did you get involved in, you know, the fight for Mauna Kea?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because we're a very small nation of people, word, you know, word gets out rather quickly. And when I heard about Mauna Kea being under attack from this proposed 30-meter telescope, it was something in my know, which is your gut feeling, basically. But that's your connection, your pico, right where your belly button is. That's your pico. That's your connection to the Vauakua, or the realm of the gods. It's your connection to the higher ups that created everything and still to this day create everything. And so something in there was ignited and sparked, and it told me to go. And so I went, and now I'm here. And that was 4 years ago, back in 2015.
Deadly. And what were some of the, what were you involved in before? Were you an activist, or like before getting involved 4 years ago?
Yeah, I've always been kue, is what we call it. It's just to stand up. We call ourselves Aloha Aina, and which means until the very last defender of the land, which is until the very last indigenous of that specific land. Because, you know, as indigenous, we do know that we don't have a choice to protect our Aina. We must. We come from this dirt. We're made from this dirt. We are this dirt. So to not protect this dirt is to not protect ourselves and our human forms. So in those terms, I've always been a quote-unquote activist, but really started getting involved with community work and global work when I was a freshman in high school. And then Mauna Kea took it to another level, which led me to Standing Rock, which led me to Palestine, which led me to that year, actually. I mean, it's
full circle.
In a broad way.
Full circle for yourself.
Full circle, absolutely.
And I guess we'll get back to, talking about Mauna Kea and this telescope. What's the progression happening now in terms of them wanting to put the telescope in?
Yeah, absolutely. So, but this past year, you know, because of the Supreme Court decision, TMT appealed it and took us back to Supreme Court. And this time, this past year, Supreme Court ruled in favor of the 30-meter telescope. I was in Boston when I found out about that, and immediately went on the next flight home because I was like, oh, it's about to go down. And nothing transpired until actually just a couple of weeks ago, really. But so right now, we took this stance to make this Pool Honor, which traditionally was a place of refuge. If you were running away from our chiefs, or if you know someone was out to out to get you, or anything, you needed to seek refuge somewhere, and you made it to this Pool Honor, you were safe. No one could touch you. You would not be killed or punished or what have you. You were safe. And so we brought that idea of a safe haven back, and reclaimed Pu'uhuluhulu, which is right across from Mauna Kea, and it's actually the place that you go to before you go up to the mountain, just to ask for permission to go up there. And we claim this place the Pu'uhono o Pu'uhuluhulu. So it is the place of refuge at Pu'uhuluhulu. And This is now our camp, right? This is now where we stay at, in active protection of our mountain. So it was, you know, man, what is it? A couple of weeks ago, 13 days ago, that was set. And it was 2 days after that we knew that they were going to start bringing construction equipment up. And in order to do that, the police and the state had to shut down the road going through from Hilo, from one side of the island, to Kona, the other side, because the vehicles are so large to build this 30-meter telescope, they have to shut down the whole road. And so we took action and we took stance, and we didn't allow any equipment vehicles to come up, and still, 13 days later, have shut down the Mauna from tours, from equipment, from further desecration. And actually, because of that, our other islands stood up as well. And they started shutting down highways, and they started shutting down airports, and they started shutting down tourism, which is, if you know Hawaii, most people regard it as a tourist destination. So for us as the people of this land to shut that down and say, "Aole, no more. No more will we be determined by the amount of people that come to visit our island and only regard it as such. No more will we allow the settler state to determine how our aina is used and utilized and materialized. No more are we going to allow other people that's not from here, that don't have the highest intention for our culture, our people, and our land to determine what happens next." And that's what we're seeing here right now. And that's what has transpired from Mauna Kea. And that's what I believe was always the fight.
Definitely it is. And what is the company, TMT? What does that stand for?
30-meter telescope. Mm. So TMT stands for the 30-meter telescope, which is...
Well, what is like NASA or something that want to put in a telescope?
No, it's backed by actually 5 different countries and a lot of private institutions, of which are universities. Mm. UH Manoa, which is the university here on Oahu, actually, but they do have a university system, the University of Hawaii Systems, is backing it as well. They are, quote unquote, the caretakers of the Mauna, so they are the ones who gave the lease to the 30-meter telescope and its partners to build. They're the ones who are legally, in the eyes of the United States government, allowed to make decisions on what happens on our most sacred piece of land.
Over the last few weeks, online, if anybody hasn't seen what's been going on, there's been so much solidarity from all different parts of the world, from all around the world, from you know, people just posting photos or messages online on social media, but then also people rocking up from different parts of the world as well, especially from the smaller islands in the Pacific, have been showing up. How important is it to have that solidarity from other Indigenous folks?
It's incredibly important, and you know, and it just goes to show how powerful we as Indigenous people are. And when we go to one another's aina and one another's lands and waters and show that we see you guys and we're here as suppressed people as well, as oppressed people as well, we're going to come and stand with you guys to say that you're not alone. And you have never been alone. We as Indigenous people have that salient connection to one another. And for us to show up physically on each other's front lines says a lot, I believe, to the settlers that they can try to do what they need to do to silence us, but we will never be silenced. They can try to pepper spray us and maze us, and they can try to erase us from history, but that will never happen. We'll always come back and keep on fighting because our aina, our land, will always come back and keep on fighting for us.
Definitely it does. It always does. Like, same thing back here to a lot of us. You know, we say, you know, country is calling us home, you know, and it's funny too, because, you know, lots of mobs, you know, they'll, you know, take leave from work and say, oh, you know, boss, I've got to, not saying, you know, that, you know, because I don't think they'll understand, you know, what it is, like that connection is, you know, but they'll say, oh, you know, I'm going home to visit family. Obviously visit family, but then also, you know, to, you know, to get feet on country, you know, to get that recharge that you get, or, you know, that sense of home and love that, you know, country gives you. It's definitely something that, you know, our mob over this way feel, and is, I guess, universal to Indigenous folks around the world. You mentioned before as well that you know, TMT won the last court hearing. Is there a challenge to that happening as well, or to sort of slow the process down? Or is it just, at the moment, is it just sort of in blockade mode and just sort of shutting down the access points?
There's definitely a lot of court hearings happening, a lot of TROs or temporary restraining orders happening. You know, there's front lines happening in all aspects. And you as an Indigenous man understand that we would never just have one aspect only, because we've always been intelligent people and we've always allowed ourselves to be patient in understanding what the bigger picture really is and what it takes to properly go to war with something. I also loosely use the term war, but also strongly use the term war. Because I think it's important for people to truly understand that this isn't just about protecting land. This is about reclaiming what's always been ours from a group of people, from a group of entities that have forcefully taken it away from us. And, you know, if they want to call us terrorists, eco-terrorism, whatever, what have you, I'm going to throw it back at them and label this as an act of war against us that has been going on for hundreds of years, in some places thousands of years.
Yeah, definitely on many fronts, you know, our people you know, hold the front line down and continue the struggle and the fight as well. And I guess as well on that point, how can other people support as well, you know, online or, well, I guess, you know, from Australia, how can we learn more about what's happening with Mauna Kea, but then also, you know, your folks and, you know, your people as well?
Totally. Thank you for that. You can follow us on social media, which is our biggest asset right now, on Instagram at Protect Mauna Kea, all one word, no spaces, no uppercase, at Protect Mauna Kea. And then through that, you'll see a lot of different handles that we'll repost that are good to follow as well, but they, I'm so sorry, are evading my mind. But I would go there to start with there. And then on Facebook, there's Stand for Mauna Kea. If you just type in Mauna Kea, you'll learn a lot. about what's going on the ground. And I think it's important also to hear the opposing side too, and to see where they're coming from, right? Mm. A lot of people will label this as a stance against science, and that's very untrue. We are among the best scientists in the world, if you will, and that's because of our connections to the stars. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, the first.
Yeah, exactly. And so for them to label it as that just shows like how much they don't get it, mm-hmm. you know, and how much they're stuck in their ego with wanting to build something and wanting to understand something and wanting to rush into understanding something. You can find a different way. It might take longer, but that's just the way that it has to be.
Mm. Well, like over here in Australia, we make up a very small percentage, maybe like 2.5% of the national population. And there's about 26, maybe 25 million people. So over here in schools, in sort of every setting, you know, we are the minority by a long shot. You know, unless, you know, you're fortunate enough to go to like an Indigenous school, which they have a few at. Like I was lucky from year 2 to year 7, I did. And then I went to a mainstream high school. And, you know, the sort of the curriculum over here, you know, is more towards, you know, Captain Cook and sort of, you know, he founded this place and there was a peaceful settlement. Is it sort of the same thing over there? Obviously, you fellas, you know, took the trash out, you could say, when talking about Captain Cook. But in terms of being a minority, and then also, I guess, the narrative around being Indigenous folks, is that taught in schools as well?
No, I mean, we're very much taught in the same way that the Turtle Island is what I like to call it, the continent is taught, which is the same way that Indigenous tribes on Turtle Island are taught. We're taught what they want us to believe, and we are brainwashed and have been brainwashed for generations. But we're not the minority, I would say. And I would say that, you know, maybe numbers can't solidify that because we've been so, quote unquote, washed out when it comes to blood quantum since they introduced this really, really dangerous idea of blood quantum.
Yeah, same thing over here as well.
Right. Saying, you know, I mean, we don't have to go into that, but we're not the minority. We've always been the majority, and you can even see that in the use of our language on our lands and our language revitalization program, which was really led by the Māori, and you know, we're very grateful for them, to them. For that, but we're not the minority. I don't believe we are, and I will never believe we are.
Definitely, of course. Yeah, and I like how you said that as well, you know, looking at how we use language on country as well. It's starting to change over here in terms of naming significant places, you know, their rightful names, their traditional or their sacred names as well. It's slowly starting to come back to that. It's still a, as it is anywhere else, an uphill battle, you know, when talking about Indigenous knowledges as well. And because the reason why I brought that up as well is to sort of, you know, get sort of that perspective on, you know, because you said, oh, you know, we always hear the opposing side to why Indigenous people's fights. We never hear our own side to why we fight as well. So, you know, because that really sets the tone of how, you know, generations of settlers, you know, look at Indigenous folks as well as, you know, criminals, as, you know, government-dependent people, and as all these negative stereotypical views, when which, like you just said, you know, we're incredible people, we're, you know, the first scientists, we're many different things that, you know, we've given this world. But, you know, in the last few hundred years, it's been flipped on us to think that we're lesser than. I want to say a big thanks for joining us on the program. And if there's anything that you would sort of like to leave on, or if there's, you know, any questions that I haven't asked, please, you know, continue.
Thank you so much. I would really give my mahalo to you from my na'au, from my kupuna, from my ancestors, from my pu'uwai, from my heart, from my waters, from my mountains, from my people, from my land. Thank you so much for allowing me to share my story. And if there's one thing that I would like to actually leave with is a message to all Indigenous listening, especially the Indigenous youth. Don't ever, ever, ever be ashamed of who you are and who you come from. Don't ever be ashamed of the language that you know, the stories that you've been told, the dances that you do, the food that you eat, the land that you come from. Don't be ashamed to relearn them if you've forgotten them or if you haven't been taught them. Don't be afraid to stand up and fight for your people and for your next generation so that they can live in a peaceful land, on their lands, with your stories, with your culture, with amongst your people. Don't ever be ashamed to be Indigenous, despite all of the hardships that they throw at you. It's not easy, but for me anyway, I would not want it any other way, and I'm very, very, very grateful to have been born in this lifetime to a people so amazing. It's an honor to be Hawaiian.
On the sea again, and I'm holding that long tethered spear, and I feel I'm close now to where it must be. My island home is waiting for me. Now I'm out here west of Alice Springs with a wife and a family and my island home. My island home, my island home is waiting for me. And